In the first week that I had gone for my Isla to Jalalabad, perhaps the second day, there was some person that was living in the Khanqah for some time. So I felt to myself, as a mark of respect, let me join up with him and we'll go together to the Khanqah. So Hazratji Rahmatullahi got to know about it. We used to be quite frank, open, whether it's going against us or it's going for us. I used to explain to him what had happened. So he said, no, not at all. Wahdat-e matlub, matlab. Tawheed-e matlab. You be focused over yourself. You be focused over yourself. If you're going to allow this to happen, that you are coming subject to that person's coming or not coming, then your Islah is going to be damaged, it's going to be affected. So you're keeping your coming subject to his coming. Right? If he's not going to come, then your Islah is going to be affected. Whereas your primary concern must be your Islah, your reformation, your correction. Now these are very bunyadi and primary things in tasawwuf. And generally, the primary things are neglected. One thinks to himself that a primary things is like primary school. Grade 1, I finished grade 1. Now, I'm in matric. So I don't need to be worried about grade 1. Whereas, in every respect, it is not like grade 1. The comparison is not right. Some of the concepts that you may learn at grade 1, you need to keep the concepts right till the end of your life. Like you learn at grade 1, for example, 2 times 3 is 6, right? So now this concept, you can't say that I learned it at grade 1, now forget it. You will have to remember this concept right till the end. There are certain things perhaps you could just forget, by the way, leave it. Like you are playing catching game, or you are playing hide and seek, or there was some sports event that you had played, some soccer, that you may forget. It's alright, that was meant for that age. So these type of things perhaps you can leave by the way. But there are certain concepts that you will have to carry with you right through. So similar is these teachings in tasawwuf, it's not meant just for that initial period. It's meant for you to hold on to latch on to remain committed, onto right till the very end. Al Muwatta Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that generally people get lost in this way with two things. One is fuzul tahqiq, unnecessary research and discussions. We have discussions, but discussions pertaining to things that are not necessary, not required. Now there is a discussion that is going on in some circles, 2012. Right? We have hardly finished 2010, and there's a big song carrying on about the 2010. Now they're worried about 2012. They foresee and they predict that all the planets will be in one straight line and there will be some problem with the gravity, and as a result there will be huge waves, tidal waves, 30 meters, and then many places will be washed out or damaged badly, so all need to make figure for that. Alright, be it as it may, whether the predictions of the scientists work out or they don't work out is questionable. Sometimes they say something like the weather forecast, if you ask a fisherman, then he will tell you that 75% of the time they're not right. 75% of the time they're not right. And maybe 15-20% of the time they're right. And when they get it right, say, we forecasted it, you see. So it came right. But they don't talk about that 75-80% of the time that they went off. Now the person gets confused. Now he forecasted it, it came right, and the other time it didn't come right. So what is the explanation to it? No, it came there, but it just took a curve. They can make up a story immediately. It came right there, the wind came, the storm came, but for some reason that we can't explain, this took a curve, this took a turn. And leave it, and leave the explanations. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak is not going to ask you about these things. Remain focused on your work. It has to come, it will happen, and it will finish off. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognized Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as they recognized their own children. Abdullah ibn Salam radiyallahu anhu, a leading Jewish rabbi who became a great sahabi thereafter, he says that our recognition of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is greater than our recognition of our own children. For it's likely that our wives may have betrayed us with respect to our children. But with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have no doubt. Definitely it is that very Nabi. Imagine what details they had about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They knew the details of his migration, that he's traveling, he's migrating now. Right? Imagine. They knew the details of his birth. His birth now. They saw a star and it says, Hadha Kawkabu Muhammad. This is the star that marks the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's midwife is carrying Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she sees a crowd of people, and there is a soothsayer or something, and she sees something in the eyes of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she asks, is this a constant feature in his eyes, or it is an infection? So now it's a constant feature. So the soothsayer went for the jugular to throttle Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the midwife just pulled him back. So this is that Nabi that we have been promised about, and that will come and finish the Bani Israel. The series of the Nubuwat of the Bani Israel will end up and will move on to Bani Ismail. So this person must be killed. Okay. So they knew so much about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so much. They knew that this is that person. They knew the day of his birth. So much details they had of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is still a very young person. Young, he's growing up, maybe 14, 15 years of age, and he's still grazing camels and all that. Two Jews come up to him. Your name? Umar. All right. They size him up and they tell him, all right, you know what? There's going to be a Nabi that's going to appear, and you will be the second Khalifa, the second ruler after him. After him will be one person, and after him, you will be the successor to the throne of a great, huge empire. So Umar laughed his people out. I am grazing camel here, and you people are dreaming about me being an emperor. So this is something far-fetched. So he says, no, we got some work with you. These two Jews that come up to Umar radiallahu anhu. He's a 14, 15 youngster. Said, see, we got a document here, and you sign on this document. What was the document all about? That you, Umar, and you are going to expel the Jews from Khaybar, the Banu Qurayza, the Banu Nazir. You're going to expel them from the outskirts of Medina and from Khaybar. So you write and you sign this document that you will not expel us from Medina, you will not expel us from Khaybar. But Umar laughed it out and he signs nothing. Now time began to pass, and then Rasul had announced his Nubuwwat. Suddenly Umar radiallahu becomes a Sahabi, and then gradually it goes on until there is the Hijrat, and then Abu Bakr is appointed as the first Khalifa after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then comes to the time of Umar radiallahu. There these two Jews that had caught this document signed by Hazrat Umar, they come up. Do you remember this document that you signed? Do you remember this document that you have signed? So there's so much of detail of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not yet announced a Nabi, and he's traveled to Syria, right? And he met Buhayra, the Rahib, etc. And Buhayra, he says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you are going to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. I made out by your coming that you're going to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. For I'd seen the shade of this tree moving on your side. The whole shade of this tree had turned from one direction onto the place that you were sitting. And this only happens for a Nabi. Doesn't happen for a non-Nabi. So I'm advising you that you return back to Makkah from the place that you had come, because the Romans have sent scouts in every direction, because they know for a certainty they know that you are scheduled to come to Sham around this period, around this time. So they've got your description, they've got all your description, they know you. From your description they will recognize you. So I command you that you return now, because they have sent scouts in every direction to come and assassinate you. So they did everything. They found every description, every detail of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? They tried to, na'uzu billah, assassinate, to block the way, like how Fir'aun tried to block the way of Musa Alayhi Salaam. Namrud tried to block the way of Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. But working against Nubuwwat is like working to extinguish the sun. Right? It's an impossibility. Trying to extinguish, put the light of the sun out. Can it happen? It can't happen. Logically speaking, you can't do it. So they had every detailed description of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he's migrating, what is his description? What is his face look like? What his eyes look like? What will be the height? What will be the build? Everything, the last detail they had of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. But when the thing that they knew about, they recognized, they knew about, when he did appear, they rejected him. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. See how clearly the Quran Sharif is speaking. That which they knew about, they recognized, they understood very well, they were convinced that he is the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, now they go and reject him. So just recognizing and trying to work out the description is not sufficient. Now you found out all these things, these scientific facts one person has gained. What do you do about those scientific facts? What do you do? How do you employ those scientific facts? Really, many a times it is just a pastime for many an individual. You look into the stars and look into the different things, and it just becomes a pastime. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ في خلق السماوات والأرض. Allah Pak speaks about أولي الألباب الذين يتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض. The intelligent, when they ponder, they reflect over the creations, then they come to some meaningful end. You see, when you're reflecting, now you just come to an end, alright, the stars, gravity, etc. Alright, very good. You learn that much. But did you learn something beyond that, that who is the one that has created that gravity? Who is the one that is causing those stars or those planets to function? Did you understand that? If you understood that, then you understood everything. But if you didn't understand that, then you haven't understood a thing, because you brought yourself to one position, one level, and then you cut yourself off. See? Conveniently, you cut yourself off from the Creator. And what logic and reason requires, that then move it up. Or you came to this point that you're seeing the star, you're seeing gravity, you're seeing what is causing all this motion and all this type of system that is existent in these stars and these galaxies and all that. You're seeing all that, right? Dark hole, whatever they talk about. So you're seeing all these systems. But then do you ask yourself, who is the creator of this system? There must be someone that is organizing and is arranging, that is working all this system. Look at the system of this earth, right? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا. Look at the system of this world. Haven't we made this earth a place to join up both the dead and the living? The dead you bury into the belly, and the life live on the surface. But every need of yours is found within this earth. Every human need. Every need. Water is found, vegetation is found, and all your requirements, medication is found, air is found, oxygen is found, nitrogen is found. Whatever you required for your existence, for your continuity, you found on the surface. The dead, they found their place under, the living found their place above, but definitely everybody, both found their place. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا. This marvel is one verse. Really, you just begin to marvel at one verse of the Quran Sharif. You can't stop marveling. I'm not even going to keep marveling, but then you think to yourself, if you complete my door now, you marvel and you marvel. And the wisdom that comes out from one verse, you just want to keep marveling. It's a marvel. Just in one verse, Allah has captured the whole universe. That the belly is for your dead, the surface is for your living. We have joined the both, the living and the dead, in one single plane. We have joined them. All find their needs. Nobody can say that I don't find my needs either on the surface or inside. Everybody finds the need. So وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When they employ their reasonings correctly, then they come to some meaningful end. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. So the meaningful end is what? مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Allah Ta'ala, you haven't created all this without purpose. Allah Ta'ala, our Rabb, you haven't created this without purpose. Then again, on a second glance, look at the second glance on the earth. Right? The first glance, it's united both, the living and the dead. And on second glance, you find that every human need is found on the surface of this earth. You can't think about a human need that is not found. Talk about minerals, you will find it. Talk about gold, you will find it. You talk about iron, you will find it. You talk about medication, you will find it. Now, who's done this? Who's created and arranged this entire system that every need is here? Every need. You can't think of a need that is not found. Maybe science has not discovered certain things. It will take them time to discover. But really, everything is found on this earth. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمْ مَاءً فُرَاتًا. So when they ponder about these realities, they come to one meaning, one conclusion. And the conclusion is, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You haven't created this all without a purpose. There is a purpose. There is a purpose that you have created all this for. It's not just for drama. It's just not just for entertainment. It's not just for excitement. لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوًا لَتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِن لَدُنَّا. It wasn't a pastime that Allah created all this for. It's some meaningful end that He's created this entire universe with all the beautiful structures and systems. So you are saying, Allah Ta'ala, مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. When you're seeing the systems, and you're looking at the celestial bodies, looking at the heavens, you're looking at the earth, the different systems that are around, different nationalities, different races, different type of structures that are all around, they say, there is some, it's going to some direction. This earth is moving towards some direction. And then you say, no, let's look at it deeply. It's not without purpose. So what's the purpose then? Subhanaka faqina azab al-nar. The purpose is that we need to understand our Creator, that He is free from all type of weaknesses and deficiency. With all His magnificent systems, every need is found of yours in such a confined area. You live in it, you die in it, you eat in it, you enjoy in it, and you multiply in the same thing. You multiply, you live, you eat, you carry on, you find continuity in this very thing. You make your Jannat in it and you make your Jahannam in it. مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Allah Ta'ala, what a magnificent Creator. There is absolutely no flaw in your creation. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Do you find any shortcoming? Do you find any deficiency in the creation of Allah? No deficiency. Everything is there. So the one thing we need to learn, that Subhanak, Allah Ta'ala, you are free of all type of deficiency. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So you have created this for some meaningful ends. You have got a plan. Allah Ta'ala, please, Allah Ta'ala, guard us, protect us from destruction, from Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala, See, that's a meaningful end. After everything is said and done, there is a meaningful end towards everything. And now why do you have to come to this conclusion? Is in this earth, right, the way the system runs, that there cannot be perfect justice done in this earth. In this earth, generally, the one that has the influence or affluence, he rules, right? He rules, he calls the shots. Look at it in any way, the one who's got influence or has got affluence, he calls the shots. Do you see it or don't you see it? Whether it is in a magistrate's court, whether it is in a policeman, whether it is a government, but it is influence and affluence that counts. It buys anybody, you can sell anybody, you can adjust the systems, you can just adjust the law, you can do anything. Influence and affluence, that's the system that is prevalent in this earth. Now, there will be two types of people that will be victims of this system. One is the one that has got his right, says he's got all his right, he's got what he deserves, he's got everything. But then there is the person in this world who doesn't get his rights. He doesn't get what he deserves. He's being oppressed, he's being downtrodden, he's being persecuted. Now, when he's being persecuted, and there is no system in this world to see this perfect justice, then what this person has got, there is no future for this person then. There is no future for this person because no justice is meted out here. He's got nothing in the hereafter. So what's the in for this person that has been persecuted? This person that was oppressed, this person that was downtrodden, he was looked down upon, you despised him. For all the wrong that was done to him, is there any justice that is going to be meted out for this person? If no justice was meted out here, one old woman, she had a dwelling beside the palace. And the king wanted to make some extension, and he wanted to expropriate her land. So she refused, no, you can't take away my land. Pay the price, otherwise let me live where I'm living. He felt he's got the influence, he's got the power, he's got the might. So forcefully, he took over her property. Do you see what happens in the system? It's happening all the time, it's happening everywhere. Sometimes we learn about it, and most of the times we don't learn about it, because, as I say, affluence and influence. Adjusting of the law happens all the time. See, when Fir'aun is being defeated by Musa alayhi salam, and he understands that this is defeat, so he says to his people that have accepted Musa alayhi salam, "Inna hadha la makrum makartumuhu fil madinati litukhriju minha ahlaha amantum bihi qabla an azana lakum." Fir'aun says, you know what, you got the guts to believe in Musa before I give you permission. I am Rabbukumul A'la, I am Rabb Supreme, I am God Supreme. When I am the God Supreme, then you people have the guts to believe in Allah Ta'ala without my permission. You see, إِنَّ هَذَا لَمَكْرٌ مَكَرْتُمْ. It's a trick you people have planned out. So a politician will always have some game he'll have, how to justify and how to make the truth, how to make the truth look wrong, and how to make the wrong look like truth. They will always have a game. They will always have a game. Like we've been seeing all this thing here, killed in the crossfire, and there's a technical problem. All this thing has become like a joke. All the time we listen about it, it's so much, we hear about it so much that we are convinced that it's a joke, it's not the truth. We know about it, right? So, who's got that affluence and influence, then he will call the shots. He will make things appear like he wants them to appear, and thus ends he will be misleading people, crowds of people. But then there will be that class that are intelligent, that can see, that can read. They will talk. In this time and age, the difficulty is that group that wants to talk, then they can't talk. And if they do talk, then it is sidelined. Right? The mainstream media will not carry this type of information, that information that is misleading, that mainstream media will carry that type of information. And this information is suppressed. So now the public finds it difficult. They find it difficult. How do we make out what is true and how do we make out what is false, incorrect? Anyway, we were talking about this woman, and the king forcefully takes away her property. She says, give me my money, otherwise you don't have the right to expropriate. So anyway, king, in the heat of his power and the might of his, in the drunkenness of his might, he took away the property. She stood up the night and she cried to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, if I am helpless, you aren't helpless. See the words that she's using. See the words that she's using. Some people, they use these words very touchy. Allah Ta'ala, if I am helpless, you aren't helpless. Allah Ta'ala, if I am weak, you aren't weak. Allah Ta'ala, if I am mazloom, I can be oppressed, you can't be oppressed. Allah Ta'ala, if there isn't anybody in this world that cannot be to my assistance, then it's impossible that there can't be anybody in the heaven not to listen to my dua as well. And she went on and on and on. By the morning, there was an earthquake, that whole earth had sunk the palace down. All things eaten up, one shot. Do you see? So what we are getting at is there is some meaningful end to this whole system. There is some meaningful end, and all it requires of us is to apply our minds. What is the reason? Why are we here? For entertainment and sports, for a pastime and luxury, or is there some type of meaningful end? Subhanak faqina azab an-nar. So when a person thinks like this and he reasons correctly, he puts the facts together, then he comes to one conclusion, that no, there is something like a place where justice has to be meted out. Justice is going to be appreciated. Good is going to be appreciated and falsehood is going to be punished. There must be some place. Otherwise, if justice is not met out in this world and justice is not met out in the next world, then that poor person will say, well, there is no such a thing like justice in this system. Whereas you do see the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is justice. Everywhere. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ أَلَّا تَتْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. We have placed the scales. Like there is a scale that we see, a balance that we know of. There is a balance within the mind. There is a balance within the heart. The heart can also show you that are you going off or are you going right. إِسْتَفْتِ قَلْبَكَ. You go and ask your own heart, ask your own mind. People may bluff you, they may mislead you, they may deceive you, but you can't bluff your own heart. You can't deceive your own heart. You may be admiring that girl, and you may try to convince yourself, you know what, but I'm not admiring her, it's a client, I'm just looking at her, right? Because I have to do business now, I have to continue. How can I thrive, and how can I live in this world without looking at her? So you can give her these arguments, but in the bottom of your heart, something will be saying, no, bhai, something wrong here. Something fishy here is not right. Something is not adding up. See, that weight is there. That mizan, that balance is there in your heart. That balance is there in your heart. And that balance will tell you that you're going off or you're on the right. You're going off or you're going right. It will definitely tell you that that's the reason why you are here. For maintaining that balance. So I was explaining that Al-Mawad Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi says that in this day and age, there's two things that people go off in. One is futile discussions, researching things, etc., that do not relate to you. Not this life, not the life of the hereafter. It doesn't relate. Some people came and asked one Buzurg about Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and the differences that he had with Ali radiallahu anhu. The old style madrasa was, talking of the primary level madrasa, what we now do is called maktab, right? The old style madrasa was that they wouldn't get into these type of subjects. They would teach you about the Sahaba Ikram, the Azmat, and they would tell you that after the Nabi, the greatest is the Sahaba Ikram. All the awliya put together, they cannot reach to the level of the lowest Sahabi. They will leave that. They will leave the discussion and they won't pursue the discussion afterwards. They won't show you all the details, right? And they knew why they are not going to show you the details. They will instill into you the respect of the Sahaba Ikram. You need to respect them. You need to glorify them. You need to take them as your hero. They will leave it to that point. They won't go beyond that point. They will bring you to that point where you will admire them and you will consider them to be the greatest. There is no creation that is above the Sahaba Ikram after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They will leave you at that point. So that your respect of the Sahaba Ikram is not compromised in any way. Now they tell you about the details and the differences that the Sahaba Ikram had. And whereas you don't have the capacity to understand it in context, then your respect is lost. One is a person who has the capacity to understand things in context. Now you're teaching all these things here to all children at every level. They don't have the capacity. They don't have that understanding level. Forget children. Even adults don't have the capacity of understanding all these things in true context. Both are having differences of opinion. But the difference of opinion is in good spirit. In very great good spirit. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, it's reported about him that whilst this whole difference is carrying on with Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would be performing namaz with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Namaz, everything, his whole day is going there. And meals time is with Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu learnt about it. But why are you coming and performing namaz on that end? And meals time you are with us. So he says, Khana wa haka bariya, or namaz ya haka bariya. Namaz, the namaz this side is excellent, and the food is excellent on that side. So I got the good of both the worlds. So within them, there was absolutely no malice. What they were doing, the struggle was based upon haq. He felt that we have an obligation to fulfill. We need to take the route that we are taking. And they felt the same, that we need to fulfill an obligation, and we need to fulfill that obligation, we need to take the route that we are taking. So both are doing it not on account of personal reasons. Not on account of personal reasons. They were doing it just to establish the truth. That's why the hadith says that when the topic comes about the discussion of my Sahaba Ikram, then remain silent. Your esteem, your respect mustn't be compromised for whatever. Whatever it costs. Like if people were discussing your parents and their weaknesses and their fighting or their quarrels, by leave it out. I know that they had some brawls amongst themselves, but it's my parents, it's not public property that everybody can discuss about them. No, that's private. Whatever they have done, it's between themselves. Leave it out. I don't want you to discuss them. So you hold your parents in esteem and in respect, in spite of you having the knowledge that there may have been some problem. Oh, one may have been right, one may have been definitely wrong. You know about it, but it's not public property. They needed to be held in esteem and respect. So if that is the case with your parents, obviously with Sahaba Ikram, how much more respect? Your whole deen is suspended on the Sahaba Ikram. So if there is some crack here, there is some weakness on this link, your whole deen is gone. Please, your deen is no more firm. You don't have a full firm holding on your deen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this hadith says, it's the teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, really is magnificent. When my sahaba is discussed, and keep quiet. Don't talk about it. You don't have the capacity of understanding things in context. Not everybody has that ability. I was explaining someone, what you mean by context. Like I was explaining, or they are girls, madrasas, etc. Though I will not encourage these things here, but I will not speak out against it. But now you need to understand the context. If you don't understand the context, you don't know what I'm speaking about. When I explain what is context, one person had not been reading namaz at all, not Eid namaz, not Jummah namaz, not Ramadan, Taraweeh, nothing is reading in his whole life, nothing is reading. Suddenly the Tabligh Jamaat went up to him. Somehow they patawad him and they got him right. I have never been performing namaz. The Jamaat brother would tell him, at least one namaz a day read it. Right. Now he started one namaz a day. Now, someone doesn't know the story. He said, what type of Tabligh Jamaat is this? They're saying only one namaz in the day. Do you see? It's misconstrued. He doesn't understand the whole thing in context. Because he doesn't understand it in context, he's misconstruing the whole story. Do you see how important it is to understand it in context? And how many of us do have the time to understand things correctly? Similar is the case of a girl going into a Muslim madrasa, woman, girl's madrasa. Right. Now you look at our context, South African context, they're moving freely. A girl, I'm talking about an average South African girl from the age of 4 or 5, she's outgoing all the time. Going to school, going to madrasa, right, and going to high school, and going to university, going to the malls, going to shop, doing business, driving cars, that is an average woman. Right? Agreed or not agreed? It's agreed. That's an average woman. Suddenly now, they went to one Mastura Jamaat program, and said, oh, girls mustn't do these things and all that. Alright, what's the alternative? Alright. We know that you can't jump straight away into the home, confine yourself. You're not going to do that. It's going to be difficult for you, alright. One step, you go to the girl's madrasa. That's step one. You're still in grade one. You're going to escalate slowly, slowly. But now, understand these things in context. Don't jump to conclusion. Man is trying. He's trying. This is not the standard. This is not the criteria. But it is a step in the right direction. It is a positive step, and a positive step in the right direction. So that's why I say that most people don't have the capacity of understanding things in proper context. And these fine aspects, you see these fine aspects, now to begin to relate and all that, that is why the soul they say, وَحْدَةِ مَطْلَبْ. Be focused on one thing. One sheikh you have got, now be focused on that. You will allow your mind to run on this direction, on that direction. This Buzruk said this, and this Buzruk said this. The sheikh said this, and this sheikh said this. Imam Ghazali sahab said this, and Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi sahab rahmatullahi said this, and Hazrat Muhammad Shafi sahab said this, and Mawlana Thani sahab rahmatullahi said this. By then, you are a lost case. Mawlana Thani sahab himself says that I was studying on kitab on medicine, you see. Then I was looking at the symptoms, and I was looking at the diagnosis, you know, from the symptoms you diagnose. I was not feeling well those days. I had some time, so I was studying that book. Now, as I'm examining the symptoms, I'm seeing all the symptoms in me. When I see all the symptoms in me, now I don't know how to diagnose what is my problem. I think, oh, this is a medication. Then, on second look at the kitab, the book that I'm studying, I say, this may be the problem, this is how I need to treat myself. Then I went to an experienced doctor, right, Hakim or a doctor, and very simply he told me, you do this. Now I was surprised how he got it right. So then I applying my mind, how did he get it right? He says, well, the symptoms are there, right? But now you will have to see, with all the symptoms, what is the overruling factor? What is the overriding factor? All right, there's a cold also, a stomach problem here, this problem, that. So they'll have to see where's the basis of the problem, and they will have to see what is overruling factor. And there they will start off the medication accordingly. Now, everybody doesn't have that ability. He hasn't gone through the training, so he can't make that decision. So similar is the case of Islam and the Reformation. You don't have that ability. You see, no, ghibat I got in me. All right, my eyes also, that's a problem in me. My tongue is a problem in me. See? Then come home, then aggressive nature, I've got that in me also. Now what's not left in me? Everything is in me. I find every problem in me. Tongue is not right, eyes not right, ears are not right, heart is not right, everything is not right. So where must I start off from now? So that is the need why you take a sheikh and take one person. You see? Because he will teach you then how to focus, he will get your priorities right. But for God's sake, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, when you take up the sheikh, then don't look around. Oh, that sheikh said this thing here, that one said this one here. No, but why my sheikh is saying this? Now, the confidence that is required for you to progress and for your own treatment, that will not be found. See, in treatment, whether it is physical or whether it is spiritual, you need to have a degree of confidence. You don't have that degree of confidence, how are you going to progress? See? How are you going to progress? So you need to understand that Shaykh, he made an assessment and he diagnosed, and after the diagnosis, he says, no, you start off with this. You start off with this and you will progress, inshallah. One person had come here. Very, very modern. Very modern. Children all modern. Girls all modern. Going to school, university and all that. So now I could see the background. But alhamdulillah, he came with a commitment. Some 10, 15 years ago, he came with it. With a commitment he came. Is Ja'a Rabbahu biqalbin salim. Commitment. Clean heart, clear mind and commitment. So I told him, by do these few things and just see to this that this kitab you read every day without failure. Anyway, I think within 3 years, all his children, all his daughters, everybody left university and they went to Parda. And they say, hey, but Mufti Sahib didn't shout us anything, but how he got us right so easily? How did he get us right so easily? I attribute it to his ikhlas and his focus. See, his focus, when he's given himself off, asked him to do one thing, he focused upon that. Once he's focused upon that, then the whole house began to take the shape that is desired. But now you're listening here, something this side, something on the third end. You don't know where to take, where to start off from. This person also sounds to be right. That Tibbi medicine also sounds right. Unani medicine also sounds right. This English medicine also sounds right. Now what to take, what not to take? Then you see a reaction, this side, hey, leave this thing here, take this one here. So you become the doctor yourself. So what's the need of taking a doctor then? The doctor will give you a direction. You need to have that confidence and work with him and close your eyes and move. You will respect all these people that are professional, whether it's doctor, all that, whatever. You will respect all. You will respect all. You will not show any disregard for anybody. Right? But then, when you have stepped onto this path, right, then you close your eyes to everybody else. With deep respect for everybody, with the deepest, the greatest respect for everybody, but then you remain committed to one path. Yagdar gir, muhkam gir, then hold to one path, but then hold firmly to that path. Then don't speculate. I must do this, or I must do this. I must do this, or I must do this. Your whole life will go on in that speculation. You need to reach Makkah Mukarramah. You need one guide, right? You need one guide. One guide will take you, inshallah. Right? You got one guide here, and the second guide is taking you by bicycle. The other one is taking you by a jeep. The third one is taking you by ship. Fourth one is taking you by air. From here to Joburg, I'll go by air. And then I'll go by bicycle. Then I'll go by the jeep. Maybe in the next year you'll reach. Such a simple thing it was. Take to one, look at your options, etc. Then see what is most efficient. You're seeing people are going for Hajj every year. Don't you see people going for Hajj coming back? So from all the routes that are available, then see the one that is efficient. And the one that is efficient, then hold firm to it. And then go on, inshallah, in a day's time you'll reach Makkah Mukarramah. Maybe perhaps the same day you'll make your tawaf also. And maybe by the evening or by the morning, next morning you'll be in Madinah Munawwara. But what you could have not achieved in 1 year, you will achieve in 1 day. That was the barakat of holding to one system. Now that is the meaning of Yakdar Gir, Muhkam Gir, hold to the one system, but then hold firmly to that system. Then don't speculate. Don't speculate. See. Well, more Thami Sahib Rahman explains this. With a lot of examples he explains this. One is to show respect. Like the different mashayikh that you see available, that you consider them all to be the brothers of your sheikh. They're all the brothers of the sheikh. So they are like all your uncles. And your father will feel most disappointed if you disregard any of your uncle. Show the slightest disregard or disrespect to any uncle, then that will really bring about, it will really bring about your father's disappointment. No. They are my brothers. You show them respect like how you show respect to me. Right? But then when the child needs its mother, it needs its mother's milk, then it can't go to its aunts. Right? It needs direction, it will go to its mother. Right? His aunt is all there, so he will show respect to all the aunts. He will show the respect, the love, the attention to all of them. But when he wants direction, then to his mother. He wants that nutrition, and he wants some type of advice, he will go to his mother. He won't go to everyone. He knows he's got there's a bonding, there's a responsibility, there's an answerability. I need to go here. This is where I'll find my nutrition, this is where I'll find my nourishment. And that nourishment will go best with his own mother. If he's with the child who takes this milk today, and someone else's milk the next day, and a third milk the next day, that's going to be very bad for the nourishment of the child. chair is going to go off. His health will not be consistent. One, and then he goes with it. Whatever was agreed from the very beginning is agreeable to the child, he takes that and he moves. Now that's progress. And that is really taraqqi. So this has been explained by these Buzurgan Adin and Mashaykh in different ways. Not that we don't respect and we disregard any. Allah explains this in different ways. Like I was explaining today by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, that we go into unnecessary discussions. And the second problem, he says, into aib joy, looking out for faults of people. Sometimes it is fuzul tahqiq, false, wrong discussions, unnecessary discussions. And sometimes we are out on a spree of looking out for faults of others. Discreet, hidden faults, we are looking out for their faults. So both these things, really, they interrupt the path. They damage you. Now you are looking out for people's faults. What happens? At the end of the day, you discover that, no, I am faultless. This person has got a fault. He's got this fault. I know about him. He shaved his beard. This one here. No, I know about him. He doesn't practice the sunnah. And that person there, he got no ikhlas in him. This person here, he's showing off. So everybody is evil in your eye. The only farishta is yourself. Everybody is evil. So the other way is, Allama, this Akbar Ilahabad, he says that jab tak logo ke aib aur nazar par aankh padi, until we kept on looking onto the faults of people, and we found everybody to have some deficiency. Lekin jab apne upar pari nazar to duniya mein koi bura na raha, to jahan mein koi bura na raha. But when we look within our own colors, we found there isn't any bad person besides me. Besides me, there isn't a bad person. Because everything I see within myself. If I see a problem with the eye, I see in myself. A problem with the tongue, I see in myself. The ears, I see in myself. I see faults within myself all the time. That is for the person who is talib sadiq. Person who is sincere in his search. The one who is not sincere in his search, why are you picking out my fault? Or my mistake? Then, Piruski islat, okay, now his islah is finished, he's done. Now the Shaykh doesn't have the heart to make his islah at all. I can't tell you anything. I don't have the heart to tell you anything now, because your islah is done. We show you your fault, your mistakes, your weakness, then you pull up your face. When you pull up your face, or rather we don't tell you anything, so we have a good relationship. If we're going to tell you your mistake, you're going to get pulled up, so rather don't tell your mistake. Allah Thani Salah says that even if the Shaykh is telling you something that is not agreeable, right? Or it's not a mistake within you, you accept it. You accept it, even though it's not a mistake within you, but you accept it. Now, he tells you something, it's not other that you made a mistake. Or you did this, you did this. Tumari to islah to gayi. Now your islah is done, finish. You came to the end of the path. Now, I don't need to make you islah, because you say you don't have the mistake. I say that you have got the mistake, and you say you don't have the mistake. So it's either I that is speaking right, or you are speaking right. One of the two. So we give you the benefit of the doubt. Go on then. Then I don't need you. I don't need to make islah then. I don't need to rectify you. I don't need to correct you then. Now everything, every wrong that I show out to you, then I have to prove it. Now then what's the need for me to come and prove out to you your mistakes? That means you don't trust me. The trust has been broken down. If I'm showing you something, then you don't have the level of trust. When you don't have the level of trust, then why? What's the need for me to come and convince you, give you convincing arguments that, you know, this is the problem? Maybe you go to a specialist or someone, he'll give you convincing arguments. Because that hour that you see him, he'll nail you for that 2 grand or 3,000, whatever, he'll charge you for it. So he knows there is a price with this. There is a price for it, so he'll give you a whole explanation, what is cancer, and whatever. All that detailed knowledge that the doctor needs to know, he'll give it to you. Everything, every deal, he'll give it to you. But yeah, he doesn't have a need. He doesn't have the need to tell you everything. Just, he's telling you and you're accepting. He's telling you and accepting. Now that is real Islam. The hearts are open, the hearts are clear. Even though the Shaykh has slipped up. But he said, no, what you're saying is right. What you're saying is right. I made a mistake. I stumbled, and I stumbled very, very badly. And I'll try and rectify myself. Gangoa, there was one person, Hakim Ziauddin. So Mawla Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullahi had heard something about this Hakim Ziauddin. Some complaint had come up, and Mawla was affected for the moment, but then he forgot about it. This person heard that Mawlana was, this complaint had reached, my complaint related to myself, had reached Mawla Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He went up to Mawlana. Look at, I'm showing you now how the person will conduct himself. How does he conduct himself? Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah is not his sheikh, but it is the sheikh's brother. Even the sheikh's brother, he holds him in such esteem. Now imagine what esteem he must have held his sheikh in, when the sheikh's, is a co-murid. Like there are two murids of one sheikh, Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah, and this person's sheikh, both are murids of one sheikh. So he comes to Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah and he says, "Hazrat, please make me maaf. Please make me maaf. If you don't make me maaf, mera dono jahan kharab ho jayenge. Dunya, akhirat, everything will get destroyed. Everything will get wiped out. Do make me maaf. Please make dua for me." He went on and on. And Mawlana said, "Now my heart is completely clear and I don't have any malice against you." Everything was clear. Heart was clean. Now, he told Mawlana, that complaint that reached you was not right. This is how it happened. And this is the details of the complaint, but it was not right. Now, do you see how he conducted himself? The one way to approach the whole problem was, Mawlana, you're lending your ear to every problem. You're lending your ear to every problem. And because of that, you're getting misled. Now, phir tum to sheikh ke sheikh ho gaye. Tum to sheikh ke sheikh ho gaye. Phir islah ki kya zarurat rahi aapki? No, no, there's no need for islah now. Now you carry on, you're getting on. You see, so this is all indicative of wahdat al-matlab. That wahdat al-matlab, that first step, that initial step, that foundation stone is wrong. When that foundation stone is wrong, now you're going to take that edifice right till the Suraya star. You will get it crooked because that foundation stone is not right. If that is laid right, then everything will go in place. But that is not right, the whole thing is going to go wrong. See? Explaining about this Tawheed Matlab and the importance of it, and many of us are misled into thinking that it is something that we need to learn at the primary level. And once we've learnt it at the primary level, then it's finished. No, no. That thing carries the whole edifice, it carries the whole structure. And that thing has to be right through, because the whole structure is supported upon that. You know, it's a concept that you can't eliminate, you can't wipe out of the system. You say 2 times 3 is 6, you learned it at grade 1. You can't eliminate it out of the system. No, you're going to do your business, you require it. You're going to university, you require it. You're going to school, you require it. At any level, whatever work you're doing, you will require the same concept. You got that concept, you got the right direction. You've eliminated that concept, you're going off. You see the importance of the same Tawheed Matlab. See, this informal sittings in Tasawwuf is not for show, not for excitement. It is really to bring about a cure, a solution. See, we have got problems, all of us got problems. And the problems require solutions. Right? So when the problem requires solution, that solution may not sound very interesting, not a very, very forceful talk, emotional talk, but it's a solution. You went to the doctor, he said, "Take Panadol." 20th time he came, "Take Panadol." But you don't sound exciting at all. You don't sound exciting at all. But this practice that I've got is not for excitement. It is for treatment, not for excitement. You misunderstood the whole thing. You have misunderstood the whole thing. It's not for excitement. It's not for entertainment. It is for treatment. So it will sound boring to you that I'm giving you the same treatment for the 20th time that you come here. You understood? The principles are very, very similar. It's not for excitement, not for entertainment. It is a treatment that is going on. We are speaking about, useless discussions. How people waste their time in futility. Futility. One person is asked about Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He asked the alim. So the alim says to those two people that came to ask, said, "Bhai, what's your work?" "No, I sell shoes." "And what you do, bhai?" "No, I'm a tailor." "So you carry on selling shoes and you carry on tailoring. On the day of Qiyamah, this question won't come to you. And if the question does come to you, tell them that you referred it to the Mawlana and Mawlana refused to answer." Let's finish. See that he cut it, he nibbled it in the bud. Finish. Now, another Mawlana says, "No, give them research, tell them what happened. Exactly, must tell them what happened." But why, do they have the capacity? Do they need to know the incident in detail? Do they need to know? They don't need to know. One is someone who's got the capacity and he's got that type of knowledge, the power of digesting all these things, and he definitely requires it. So he's got the ability, he can decipher, he's got the respect for the Sahaba Kiram. The respect of the Sahaba Kiram will not be compromised in the least. See? And he needs to make the study for whatever reason, because he's defending Islam. When he's defending Islam, he needs to have his answers right. So that person learnt it, it's a different situation. Now, one in a million person would do this type of job, defend Islam, write kitab, etc. One in a million person would do that. So that person learnt it was sufficient for the rest of the people. Now everybody, what's the need for everybody to know all these things here? What's the need? They'll add to their confusion. Leave that out. It doesn't relate to you, doesn't relate to your dunya, to your akhirah, then why are you getting yourself involved in it? Hazrat Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi must ask the same question, or a similar question, that is it permissible to curse Yazid? Is it permissible? Obviously, he did a lot of wrong. He assassinated Hussein radiallahu anhu, and then he was an addicted alcoholic, right? So a lot of wrong he had committed. So Mu'az's answer was, that person is allowed to curse Yazid who's got his ticket to Jannat. Who's got his ticket to Jannat and he's confirmed now he's going to Jannat, then he can curse him. Otherwise, Yazid will turn around and tell him, "Bhai, you are Jahannami and you cursing me. Both of us in the same boat. What are you cursing me for?" Yazid can turn the whole thing around that you and I are both in the same boat. We go both this way to Jahannam. So for what reason on earth are you cursing me? You see this futile discussion. Doesn't relate to your dunya, doesn't relate to your akhirah, doesn't relate to anything. And then we get ourselves involved and engaged in these things here. Really, it destroys your deen. I remember once I was discussing the fazilat of reciting La ilaha illallah 70,000 times. There was an old man sitting in that company. And that I least expected that old man to respond so favorably. So after 2 years or 3 years, it leaked out. Someone that was very close to that old man, he came and told me, maybe his son or someone, that you know, you told that hadith. After that, my father got approximately 100 sets of 70,000 La ilaha illallah. In a matter of 2 years, he's got 100 sets of 70,000 La ilaha illallah. Any person dying, and he says, "All right, this is my friend, I know him. One set for him. One set for him. One set for him. One set for him." Yeah. Now you see, there is a way how you preserve your time, how you look after your time. Don't get stuck into these things here. You'll only understand the value of the time when you get in. Yeah. When you get in, and you're getting in at a point of no return. You're getting in at a point of no return, then you realize, hey, no. Hey, this time I could have earned so much more, and I wasted it. I'm in the shop, there's hardly anything to do. Let me sit around and read La ilaha illallah. Let me read La ilaha illallah. I'm going to the masjid, I can do something. I'm returning from the masjid, I can do something. I'm going to sleep, I can read at least 200, 300. I can complete before my eyes close. At least I'm sleeping, my eyes are closing with the word of Allah Ta'ala. So in a day I can earn so much. Without any additional effort, at least 3,000-4,000 I can finish in one day. In a matter of 10 days I can finish off 70,000. So in a month I can finish 3 sets. Can't I do this much? I can do it. Can't I do these things? So, but that is for a person who has that consciousness, that awareness of time. He has the value of time. But you don't have that value of time. Quran actually says, ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض. If the people of the cities believed, if the people of the cities, they believed and they restrained from undesirable work. Two things, believe and restrain from things that are undesirable. Then, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We'll open up all the barakat from the heavens and the earth. Now, when we say barakat, what do we refer to? Hey, this man got a lot of barakat in his shop. Why? Well, before he was making 1,000, now you got 1,000,000. That's not barakat. Barakat literally means increase. But increase can come in several ways. One way of increase is you've got little, but it suffices. Right? The other way of increase is there is physical increase. Right? Then the third aspect of increase is increase in your time. Now one person is living up to 100 years, 150 years, 120 years, right? But the production is little. Namaz, Roza, Zikr, Tasbih, Quran Sharif. What production was supposed to be coming out of that age is little. There's no barakat in his life. He's lived so long, he's made a beautiful body for himself, but then what production came out? What was the production that came out of the body? That's minimal. As a mu'min, as a believer, you believe in a life to come, right? So for that life, what investments have you made? In proportion to what investments you have made, you will say, you know, this person, there's a lot of barakat in his age. Nabi Salaam had 23 years, only 23 years to work. But he worked himself so much that up to this day, that's 1400 years away, and there's so many millions of people working for him, that cause, same cause. He planned himself, he worked himself, he exerted himself. He lived very short, 63, right? 40 years before Nubuwwat, 23 years after Nubuwwat, and in that 23 years, what investments he made up till now. And inshallah, that will continue right to the day of Qiyamah. Isa alayhi salam will also follow him. That was the investment he made. So that is called barakat in that short age. But what is required is that we don't indulge, we don't engage in futilities. Does this really deal, relate to my deen? Does it relate to my akhirat? If it relates, I must get into it. It doesn't relate to my deen, doesn't relate to my akhirat, I mustn't get into it. Quran explains several examples, you know, and how people's time is just eaten up, how people's time is just consumed. Remember, don't ever think that we are now, we get into two extremes. Sometimes you get into an extreme, too old now, I should have done something in my youth. No, don't become despondent because of that. Nor should you become complacent about your youth. I'm still young now. Let me just enjoy life and then I will start off. The person who conquered India was Muhammad bin Qasim at the age of 17. Now, he's coming from a tribe that persecuted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people of Taif. They persecuted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't curse them. With the expectation, inshallah, someone will come out from their people. Right? And then, true to the expectation of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad bin Qasim came up and he sent to India. And we all indebted to Muhammad bin Qasim, rahmatullah alayhi, for our Islam today. But what? At what age? At the age of 17. Do you see what age he started off? But what's the investment? What is it? All of us will be anxious. All of us will be aspiring. Hey, what an investment man did. All the Islam that is spreading Islam in India. That when you talk of India, the India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Ceylon, all this is India, Bangladesh, all that is that ancient India. So what an investment man struck. Now that is called barakat. In a short age, but he's able to achieve so much. Similarly, you got less wealth, but in that less wealth, you've been able to achieve so much. Now that is called barakat. You had less wealth. Rasulullah SAW, he started off as an orphan, right? And I was explaining to someone, one American came here. So he says, you know, America, you know, they got a dialect, they got a style of speaking. Sometimes you get excited with their language and their accent. Right? Just carry on listening to them. So say, you know, you need to have wealth for the spreading of Islam. You must be a powerful person, mighty person, all that. So I tell him, all right, by now, give me a chance now to talk. Because some people, they talk and they go on. I told him, have you read this, the lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How he started off as an orphan. What was the nothing for him? He didn't earn anything from the inheritance of his father, nothing. مَا تَرَكَ لَنَا أَقِيلٌ مَنْزِلًا. Not even a house in Makkah. When he returned at the time of Hajjatul Wida, not even a house. Nothing he left. Nobody left any inheritance for him. But the whole world takes the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazratji Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he talks about his growing ages, 5-6 years of age, and the condition in Nizamuddin at that time. Condition in Nizamuddin at that time is such that Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah is about 5-6 years of age. There's nothing to eat. So he's got that can which has the atta, the flour, you know. There's nothing to eat, so he's scraping the walls of the can. He took it out and he's making some paste. In the meanwhile, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah just walked out of the house and he sees his son. So tears swelled in his eyes, my child, and what he's going through. He went into the house and he cried for some time. Then obviously your own child, only child, and you see the child in that condition and what he's going through, you feel. It's natural for you to feel. So he cried. And he made dua and kept on making dua and dua. And after that, he found a serene feeling, an inspiration that was given to him, and he said, inshallah, is chahar diwari mein kabhi bhook aayegi nahi. Within the precincts of this place here, there will be never starvation. And true to the dua of Mawlana, till now, you see, I think without exaggeration, those that are regular to the markaz, without exaggeration, I think every day over 1,000 people are being fed from that time till now. Now that is now Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah in his infancy, you can see it's at least about 1930s, and now it's 2010, 80 years. Now where you got the money to feed 1,000 people, even with a simple food? But every day, without exaggeration, 3 meals are being served, over 1,000 people are fed. How did it happen? This is barakat. This is that barakat. We'll have nothing, but Allah Ta'ala makes it work. And now what this requires, several aspects. One is sincerity. One is focus. Sincerity, one is focus. Don't move away from the cause. One more time, Sahib Rahmatullah speaks about people and their behavior in his time. Yes. And he speaks against this ikhtilat, you know, people mixing up, joining up, and the evils that it comes with. One evil he explains, now one is you're going out and ikhtilat, you know. The general law is al-wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su. والجليس الصالح خير من الوحدة. To remain secluded is better than bad company, right? To remain secluded is better than evil company. But good company is better than seclusion. Good company is better than seclusion. And this company, how it affects a man, that is unreal. You know, I'm talking of some people that were schooling around our time. I won't say schooling in the same school, but we knew them, they were schooling around our time. And, you know, you couldn't find a fault in the person. Immaculate, his dress, his behavior, his speech, his performance in school, everything was absolutely perfect. Anyway, he left Durban after some time. We knew them from childhood, Durban, people living around. So they left, studied something, whatever, and he went out. Now, in the winter nights, all of us find the night very, very long, you see. So you want some entertainment after Isha. Then he started off with a circle of friends. From nothing, from no evil in his life, now he started off with cigarettes. Then they went on to something harder. Now they don't have the finance. In the circle of the friends, it happened that there was one wealthy boy. But they need the money to serve with this addiction. They need the money. So, the wealthy boy says, my father got a lot of money. Now, This is the story that is being relayed to me by the victim himself. You understand? The victim himself is not a second hand now, it's a first hand. The victim himself is relating the story. So anyway, the wealthy boy says that, you know, my father's got a lot of money and I know where the money is. You all do this much at 1 o'clock in the morning or something. This is the door, side door you come up from, and we'll work out a plan. Anyway, according to how they had worked it out, the brother, the child showed the whole thing, so he came up, put up a stair or whatever, came up to that point. In the meanwhile, the father heard some noises and all that. So the brother, the son, the son is showing this person here, that this is my father, you can shoot him. You got him, then you can go through. And he shot him, cold-blooded he shot him. Now the victim is telling himself, he shot, killed the man. Right? And the next day, the police is out, now they're looking, who's the person, who's the assassin, who killed. And in a short while, they rounded them up, blood, etc. They got the evidence, rounded them up, in prison. Meanwhile, that man's mother died, he couldn't attend his mother's funeral. Mother became sickly, he couldn't make the khidmat. Father died, couldn't attend the funeral. A whole host of things happened, he couldn't be with them. But you see where this starts off. Bad company, evil company, inappropriate company, one thing leads to the other, and then when you're right at the end of that road, then you come to a realization that this is where this thing started off from. So that he says, وَالْوَحْدَةُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ جَلِيسِ السُّ. Remaining alone is better than evil company. In this day and time, I explain that company doesn't only refer to people. It refers to magazines, media, all that. About some 15 years ago, a Hindu person was taking his daughter to school, matric. And I'm showing you that media is also company. She pulled out a gun. She's sitting in the rear. Father is sitting in the front. She pulled out a gun and shot the father from the back. So there was a court appearance. Why did you do this? The previous night, I saw something like this on the television. So I thought, no, let me experiment something like that. See, it went so deep into a system. What she's seen now, she wants to behave that. What she's seen, she wants to act it out. And the father had to be the victim. The mother who had bought the same thing, he had to be the victim. So this is company. Now the evil of this company is so much, so immense, especially in this day and time. I say this to the students also repeatedly, that individually in your own self, you may be an excellent person. But one person, it takes one person just to corrupt your mind. And the mind is the nucleus. The mind then instructs, do this and don't do this. Where the man wasn't smoking, now he becomes a smoker. He wasn't womanizing, now he becomes a womanizer. He wasn't looking at porn, now he becomes that. He wasn't cheating and robbing, now he begins to do that. Just one in one sitting, and the whole man's outlook has changed. The whole man's outlook, you have just smashed it just in one sitting. So how serious this thing is, company, association, and how much do you need to protect yourself and guard yourself against this? So that is why they ask you, وَحْدَةَ مَطْلَبِ. You know, I was talking about وَحْدَةَ مَطْلَبِ, focus. Forget everything else. All these things here will come. They come as an obstruction to the path. It confuses you, it confounds you. Now you don't know to go in this direction, go in this direction. Now you're speculating. Before you were going one way. You need just one guy to take you. Now you delayed going to Makkah Mukarrama because the abundance of guides and abundance of information that you got, did it do you any good? No. If you had reached early, you would have made thousands of tawafs. Reached early, you could have made thousands of tawafs. Now you took you 2 years, 10 years to reach Makkah Mukarrama, you lost out. You could have made so much of progress. The reason that you are going for, you could have accomplished it. You could have been already on the goal. You could have been scoring all the time. But now you want to employ your reasoning and discretion and all that. And then you felt you were a very intelligent person. So you got left behind. Well, Rumi Rahmatullah explains this. Well, got a lot of Allah Pak has opened his heart through examples, you know. And he explains difficult concepts. See, Mawla Rumi's kitab is not for everybody. It's not for everybody thinks, no, I can read. You need to understand the masail of tasawuf very well. Then you look at Mawla's kitabs. Not straight. one person, at least one ant, was complaining to the pigeon. You know what? Pigeon? He was so fortunate that whenever you want, you can just go Makkah, then make tawaf. Whenever you want, you can just go Medina Munawara, then make ziyarat. Yeah, I'm stuck up here. Forget the oceans, I can't cross even the roads, I can't even cross a small river. And now I'm battling, I'm struggling, I can't, how must I manage this? You know how I'm dying for this. I'm dying for this moment, you're going and coming, you're going and coming. I'm stuck here, I can't do anything. So the pigeon says, yes, I will afford you this opportunity, but two conditions. One condition is, you tuck yourself into my leg, deep into my feathers. You tuck yourself deep into my feathers and hold firmly to my leg. The second condition is, don't you ever look towards the earth. You don't ever look towards the earth. The ant heard him out. In a matter of 3 days, they were in Makkah Mukarramah. In a matter of 3 days, they were there, and he was already making tawaf. But the other ant, that thought it was clever and all, said, no, let me just be casual now, let me just cool off and all that. And he didn't take it so seriously. He lost control, he fell off. From mid-air, he lost. Ispar na uspar. He's not at home, and he's not in Makkah Mukarramah. Where is he? He's suspended in between. He's suspended in between, not in Makkah Mukarramah and not at home. Or that person, the other ant, that looked down on the earth. And looked down, what speed we are traveling, where are we going to? You were excited. You were overawed. You were overawed, he lost his grip and he also fell. So when you hold to that sheikh, whoever it is, you hold firmly. Then you close your eyes from everything else. This person here, and that person, and he can also take me, and that person can also take me. And yebi mere mudawa, or yebi mera mudawa hai, he is also my medication, and he is also my maram, he is also my dawa. Now you got a whole host of medicines, then definitely your path is going to be delayed. So you just hold firm, that's the one, and secondly then close your eyes to everything else. Whatever treatment whoever else is telling you, with due respects, alhamdulillah, this medication, we don't deny it, we don't want to debate it, but I'm taking on medication, let me carry on with that medication. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will grant me shifa with that medication that I am taking. So, Mawlana explains that sometimes people have this type of obsession. Someone wants to go for Hajj all the time, Umrah all the time. Someone wants to go meet the pious. These are all works of merit and virtue. They are all works of merit and virtue. But what you need to examine is, a person is going for Nafil Umrah or Hajj, etc., whatever he's going for, he needs to see that in the process, is he slaughtering and demolishing any farais? Is he demolishing any farais? He's going for a Nafil. Is he demolishing any farais? Generally, these are three or four things that they demolish on the path. Either the namaz is getting qaza, the namaz is faraz, and the namaz is getting qaza, missing out one namaz, two namaz. I tell you that one namaz that goes, million umrahs can't compensate for that one namaz that you have missed. Millions, there's a faraz namaz, like a faraz roza, millions of rozas you can keep after that, you can't compensate for that one roza that you missed out deliberately. Can't. Do what you want, but you can't get that. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens that now you want that journey to be completed. And in that, discussions start off. Futile discussions, rebirth, gossiping, false accusations. Does it happen or doesn't happen? On the path now, 12 hours journey now, 10 hours journey. Oh, the Saudi king is like this. This people are like this. They're so backwards and they're so evil. Do you see? You're going for an honorable journey. But in the process, how many farais, how many farz you are sacrificing? Rather, that same energy, if it could have been diverted to your own islah, reformation, correction. Get your farais within yourself right. The farais that are within yourself that you haven't got right, your farz namazes are outstanding. Go and get that right. Your farz rozas are outstanding. Go and get that right. So the farz you've been neglecting and you worried about this nafal. So sometimes it is faraiz that you are neglecting, and sometimes it is you're getting into wrong type of discussions, haram that you're getting involved in. And you can say a good percentage of people, their eyes are looking at the wrong things, even though they are in these mubarak places, but a good percentage of people's eyes are definitely looking at the wrong places. Does it happen or doesn't happen? You know, you ask any person that comes back, he'll tell you that these things will happen. Our Buzuganadin say, when you're out there, then don't look right, don't look left, don't look at who's doing what. You do your work, bas, and get out of it. Now you're going to get engaged, oh, this person is doing this, and that person is doing that, and the third person is doing that. So do you go there for your own sake or for the sake of others? Do you go there to give a report of all these people, or do you go for your own benefit? What are you going there? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens, you know, you are meeting people frequently, Buzurganadin, pious people. Now for many people that's not a good thing. Even though they may be Buzurganadin, but it's not a good thing. The one that's got a good understanding, for him is not a problem. But his understanding is weak, it's going to be a problem for him. Now, he's met one Buzurg, and he's met the next Buzurg. Now he starts off in comparison. Well, that Buzurg, he does this, and this Buzurg is like this. So this one must be far greater than him. Then he gets into a discussion. When he gets into a discussion, now you get a support of one Buzurg, and you get a support of another Buzurg. So my Buzurg is greater than your Buzurg. My Sheikh is greater than your Sheikh. Then it comes to a wrestling match. I'm trying to call the shots for my Sheikh, you calling the shots for your Sheikh. So then it begins to border on ghibat. Oh, but your Sheikh is like this. My Sheikh is like this. Your Sheikh is like this. You see what happens? It's a boxing match now. You are trying to hit the shots on his Sheikh, and he's trying to hit the shots on your Sheikh. Both of yours imams are getting compromised, is getting destroyed. You are speaking ill out. You are speaking out against a Buzurg, and he's speaking out against a Buzurg. And then it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at that point. It goes further than that point. Then now you become one party, one group. They become another group. You see, you become one group and he becomes another group. Now you create a division within Islam where you're supposed to be now all together. Within your own ranks, you are creating a division. So for those people that are understanding, they know how to see things in perspective. If they meet, then it is an increase for their faith and iman. But who do not have that iman, who do not have the strength and ability, then just remain one place. Right.